the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Well, we all know that as we age, we like to stay healthy. And we know the cost of medicine keeps going up. So what can we do? We know about diet, we know about exercise, but what's the right kind of exercise, the right kind of diet? And what about nutrition? Joining me on the program is Jeff Cotterman. He's director of National Association of Sports Nutrition. He's also the owner of TriSystem. Jeff, let's begin with your personal trainer. You're involved in all aspects of training, from not only exercise, but also nutrition, diet. Let's talk about why the combination of all three. A lot of times you'll see people, they'll go to a gym, they join a membership, they know they need to exercise to stay healthy, to keep their weight down. But let's talk about the combination of all three, because a lot of times people will go to the gym, but they're not watching what they're eating, or they're not getting the proper nutrition, and they really don't advance the cause.
Correct. I founded a system called TriSystem that actually addresses that. Most people will enter into a fitness or health plan, it'll be segmented, and they'll get information from a book or a magazine about a certain workout or diet, and then they'll get their information somewhere else about a nutrition plan or a supplement. They'll rely on the clerk at the local supplement store, and their program is segmented. And in some cases, it works against each other. So what we do is we integrate nutrition, exercise, and supplementation. Exercise is the stimulus that causes your body to change. Nutrition is the resources to actually make that change happen. And supplementation is basically nutrients that can be timed and portioned specific. So if you are low in vitamin C and the choice to meet that vitamin C need is to eat 10 oranges a day or to take some vitamin C, the practical choice would be to take some vitamin C. And if you were to exercise and assume that, listen, I want to lose some weight, so I'm going to exercise and burn calories, no amount of exercise can offset a poor diet. So we actually have to provide the stimulus, provide the resources, and then use supplementation and contemporary research and science to help bring it all together through supplementation.
Now, when you say supplementation, Jeff, is it because a lot of the foods that we eat today, we know that they're grown differently than, let's say, what our grandparents or parents might have been eating as food in terms of vegetables, the way beef is raised today? It's much, much different. And we've got this movement in the country more towards healthy food. You're seeing places like Whole Foods come up and more organic fruits, vegetables, you're seeing that in store, hormone free beef and chicken. Is it because the food's different today? I mean, why the supplements? If you ate properly, in other words, if I had a balanced diet, I had fruits, vegetables, couldn't I not get that from the food I eat?
Yes, you could in a perfect world. But what happens is later in life, or if you're metabolically slowed down, in other words, let's say you've lived a sedentary life. We have a lot of baby boomers come into our center. We deal with people that have had a job where they've sat in front of a computer for 20 or 30 years, continuing even into retirement to kind of sit a lot, either in front of a TV, in front of a computer, in front of a laptop. And their metabolism is so slow. And the nutrients that they need outweigh the calories that they can consume. So if your metabolism is really, really slow and you can only handle 1,200 or 1,300 calories, but you need the nutrients that would naturally occur in 2,000 calories, then you're at a dilemma. You're at a nutrient deficit. But if you eat enough food to meet that nutrient deficit, you overeat. So supplements allow you to have nutrients without extra calories, especially food-based supplements. So we've kind of put ourselves metabolically in a dilemma where supplements are necessary to nutrify and meet nutrient needs without overeating.
You work with athletes, you work with women, you work with all types of individuals. Before you begin a program like this, Jeff, would you recommend, or do you recommend to your clients that they get a complete physical with their doctor? In other words, you know, we always see this around January, New Year's resolutions, people sign up for gym memberships, but they may not realize if they're out of shape, they're overweight in some ways, that they may be doing harm in terms of their program if they don't really understand the shape their body's in.
Yes, it's good practical sense to get a general physical every year, but especially you should consult a physician before you start any nutrition or exercise program, because you might feel good. You might think that you can handle a change in diet or a change in exercise, but there might be some underlying issues that only a physical can determine. So good blood work, determining your blood lipids, checking your cholesterol, checking your blood pressure. These are things that are absolutely necessary. Just going through a regular physical activity readiness questionnaire will help to determine if you're ready to change your exercise habits, if you're able to step it up and exercise and eat right.
I know there's various ways that you measure in terms of your progress. You know, we all like to get on the scales to see the weight, but what are other measures? For example, I'm thinking of body fat, heart rate. What are the things that you use that you recommend for safety? And I suppose as a person gets older or they may have a history of heart disease, would you recommend a heart monitor?
Yes. So heart monitors are relatively inexpensive right now. In fact, they're coming as part of our smartwatches, and there's apps on phones now where you can track your steps, track your heart rate throughout the day, measure your sleep patterns throughout the day. So there are a lot of metrics out there that are really good data for someone like me that are relatively inexpensive. There are extra features that come with the technology you already have. The most practical way to measure progress in fitness is body composition. So in other words, how much of your body is fat and how much of it is muscle. And there's various ways to actually do that. The most practical way is to get on the scale and also do measurements. So when a client comes in to our center, we'll put them on the scale and we'll do a body fat where we use various skin folds and tape measures to determine the distribution of their fat. Where your fat is going to influence disease risk, and then how much you have of it, of course. The practical way, you just look at your belt loop. If your belt loop is expanding, if your belt is getting bigger, then you're going in the wrong direction. And a good measurement of progress, and hopefully you're losing a few belt sizes, especially in men. Men tend to store body fat around their waist, and waist fat puts you at a greater risk for heart disease than fat stored elsewhere. So women are at a little less of a risk of heart disease, but because they store their fat around their hips, typically hips and thighs are where women tend to store it, and that puts them at a little bit less of a risk.
So when you're working with clients, okay, we talked about the importance. First thing you'd want to do is go to the doctor, get a physical, get some blood work done, find out cholesterol, even maybe an EKG to find out the condition of your heart. Given all that, let's assume that you've gone through that. Do you have different programs for different individuals given age? In other words, obviously, if somebody's in their 30s and 40s, the kind of workout program you might begin with somebody in their 30s and 40s might be different than somebody in their 50s, 60s, or in many cases, 70s or 80s.
Yes. The goals are different. For the younger population that we deal with, to simplify it, it's more ego-driven. Your 20s, 30s, and 40s, they still want to look good, or they want to beat their buddy in a specific sport. They want to get ready for the beach. And then as we age, I think we get a little wiser, Jim, and hopefully we do. And people are looking for more quality of life and longevity and minimizing disease risk, maximizing quality of life, meaning enhancing metabolism and hormone function. As hormones diminish as we age, we want to offset that. Baby boomers are booming. This month, an average of 15,000 people a day will turn 65.
Wow.
15,000 people a day this month will turn 70. And those people have a very much different perspective, different idea of fitness. And we've got to first make sure they can move. If balance is an issue, if you can't stand on one foot, then going into an extreme exercise program is dangerous. So we've got to first get you into a position where you can actually freely move. And that's something called corrective exercise. We developed that through the National Association of Sports Nutrition. We just developed this course to teach my peers, teach personal trainers and nutritionists on how to assess and help people that have been in a seated position for much of their life, either through work or just being sedentary at home, to make them able to actually do an exercise program. If you look at the posture of sitting, it actually limits your ability to lift properly, to walk properly. 80% of the population that have low back pain is due to sitting. The Mayo Clinic has said that sitting is now the next smoking, meaning it is a cause of health problems later in life. So we do this new thing called corrective exercise. And exercise for somebody that's in their 50s or 60s doesn't necessarily mean you're lifting barbells and dumbbells. We're going to use things like stability balls and foam rollers and just assess the ability of being able to get down on the floor and get up without having to grab onto the wall or without having to have assistance to do that. A lot of people in their 50s or 60s are having trouble just being able to sit on the floor and stand up. And corrective exercise, something you can look up, it's at CorrectiveX, that's the word corrective and the letter X.com. That's the course that we're teaching contemporaries on how to learn to move again and get out of this seated position. It affects us posturally. Exercise about movement. If you're going to exercise, and it hurts just to move, it hurts just to stand or to walk, how are you going to expect to do even something simple like a jazzercise class or something basic? If it hurts to even do the machines in the gym that guide you through proper range of motion, then we've got to do corrective exercise so we can get you to the point that you can move freely. I think that a fall or a loss of balance, fear of losing your balance, that creates a sedentary lifestyle that helps to shorten the life in the older populations. So in our 60s and 70-year-old clientele, we're really just kind of teaching them how to move again and affect their posture. And that gives them a sense of freedom. Then all of a sudden, if I can walk now without pain, or I can walk without the fear of falling, that means I'm going to go for a walk. And that builds on itself. So you bet that the different age groups require a completely different strategy. If you're 60 years old, don't think about going and doing CrossFit. Your goals and what you want to accomplish to be efficient in fitness are way different than the caveman workout.
You know, this brings up a question, because the rage with a lot of the equipment makers now are these CrossFitness machines. And I have a doctor who's the orthopedic surgeon. He said it's the best thing he's ever seen for his business because more people are really injuring themselves. So you work with all kinds of equipment. And today we see there's weights, there's Pilates, there's yoga, there's cardio, and now the newest rage with all at least the personal fitness equipment companies are these CrossFitness devices. In your opinion, are they really designed for younger people? Because according to my doctor, he's seeing a lot of people that are getting injured going through these programs.
Yeah. So you've got to match the exercise program to the person. And if you're going to compete in CrossFit, or if you're a competitive athlete and it involves throwing weight, or you really want to improve the amount of pull-ups you can do or the amount of deadlifts you can do, then CrossFit is appropriate. But the problem is CrossFit is being marketed as this one size fits all and anyone can do CrossFit. And it's just simply not true. Just like running miles and miles and miles, if you have a propensity for knee injury or if you have bone spurs in your heels, CrossFit is not for the person that can't move well, especially if they have a sedentary job. So if you go and you sit all day and then all of a sudden you're told do as many pull-ups and as many deadlifts as you can in a minute, no, you're going to sprint by moving this weight as fast as you can. It's totally the recipe for injury. And a lot of people, their ego's involved. Listen, I did it when I was younger. I can do it when I'm older. I'll just push through the pain. And it's a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for them being more sedentary because they're going to have to nurse an injury rather than do something a little bit more corrective and a little more progressive. So when it comes to efficient exercise, you really have to check your ego at the door. What you did when you were in high school and college is not what you can do today. That doesn't mean that we can't get you fit. That doesn't mean that we can't get you lean. That doesn't mean that we can't get you pretty again, if that's your goal. But jumping right into CrossFit is a recipe for disaster. I would agree with that.
And Jeff, how would you characterize what you would do with a man versus what you would do with a woman? We all know that there's issues. I think osteoporosis week is coming up. Women are dealing with that as they age. We see this as with older seniors. They have falls because their bones aren't strengthened. And I know weightlifting can help with that. What would you do that would be different with, let's say, a man and a woman? Let's say you take a couple. Let's just for simplicity say they're both age 65. The man hasn't maybe done a lot of exercise, maybe a little bit overweight, maybe even with the woman. What would you do that would be different from, let's say, each one of them?
Okay. The differences are really interesting. In men, like we said before, they tend to store body fat around their waist. So if they have a lot of body fat around their waist, that tends to lead to a weakened low back and weakened abdominal wall. So we're really going to emphasize core strength in men. Men tend to have a stronger upper body, and a lot of men, even if they were athletic in the past, they tend to neglect their legs. So the way the core or your abdominal area ties into your legs and hips is really important. So we're going to work a lot on hip flexion, hip extension. So men, we tend to work on the legs and the butt, even though women like to work that area. Men tend to have a stronger upper body, whereas women in exercise tend to have a stronger lower body, and they have typically haven't worked out their upper body as much. Women tend to have postural problems in their shoulders simply because they have more body parts than men, and they carry a little more weight in their hips, in their bust line. Postmenopausal women, their busts tend to turn to fat just as a result of menopause, so their posture tends to change and their shoulders tend to become more rounded. So with women in exercise, we have to really concentrate more on the upper back and the arms and the shoulders to fix posture. In both cases, we have to work on balance. At 65 years old, if you typically don't stand on one foot or balance on all fours, those are the kind of things where we're going to really work on what's known as kinesthetic awareness. We lose awareness of where our body is or what position it is in if we close our eyes. So a lot of things that we would do with a 65 years old that we wouldn't do with a 20 year old is exercises where you close your eyes and say, do this movement with your eyes open or your eyes closed. Women have estrogen, men have testosterone. Even at 65, there's vast differences. So we can look to men to grow muscle a lot quicker than women at that age. And with women, we want to know about recovery heart rate, monitoring heart rate, breathing rate. Postmenopausal women tend to get out of breath quicker. So we're going to do some types of exercise where you raise up the heart rate and then let it recover and raise up. That's known as interval training. It doesn't necessarily have to be high intensity interval training. We don't have to make the point where the person just feels so uncomfortable that they can't catch their breath. But we want to raise the heart rate up to the point where they feel like they're out of breath and then let them recover. And over time, when you exercise, that recovery rate, the time it takes for you to regain your normal breath or your resting pulse rate, gets shorter, and that's a good sign of fitness. Osteoporosis is also more prevalent in women than men, especially postmenopausal. So we're working with some physicians with extreme cases, and I am an advocate of bioidentical hormones for both men and women. If your hormones are really off balance, you can actually collaborate with your physician. The good ones out there today will embrace this new thing called bioidentical hormones and help to offset trends in lowering bone density. We want to improve bone density and in replacing deficient hormones. So if you have absolutely no testosterone and a 65-year-old life's not over, you can do things to help improve that. And diet and exercise support that. So all these things work together so that you can feel better and feel energy and feel like going out and exercising and feel like eating to support your body rather than eating to either self-medicate or eating to just kind of comfort yourself.
Jeff, what about these ads, and you see them on TV, they show these men in their 60s, there's an ad on TV with this doctor who's 75, and he looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Is there a risk to do that, and is that possible, and is that really good for you? I mean, do you really want to, at age 74, 75, build up a large muscle mass that you look like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I think that appeals to a certain percentage of the market out there that's on TV. And I hormone replacement has been controversial since they started doing it. I mean, back in the 70s and 80s, you can basically buy anything off the market and inject it in your body. Obviously, we found that there's a risk to that. And that's why steroids are illegal. That's why it's been tightly regulated. But with a physician's supervision now, there's this thing called bioidentical hormones. Bioidentical hormones are different than synthetic hormones in that they're made from natural compounds. They're made from organic compounds that mimic your natural testosterone production. And if you do them in a moderate amount and you're monitored by a physician with blood work, then you can actually offset health dilemmas that would be caused by the absence of the hormone. So I'm an advocate of this type of hormone because the disease risk, in theory, seems to be less. It's relatively new, So some doctors who are more conservative are going to say this bioidentical hormone thing is too new. There's not concrete long-term evidence. People haven't been doing bioidentical hormones for decades. They've only been doing them for years now. But my own clients, my own family, I mean, I have family members that are on bioidentical hormones, and things have changed for them for the better. Just personally, I want to relate. My wife, who's now 51 years old, you know, we're in the health industry. She definitely looks, if you look us up on Facebook or my website, you see that she looks a lot younger than 51, but she wasn't feeling that way. And she was getting insomnia, and she started to get male pattern weight gain. She started to gain weight around her waist. And she's doing my program. She's exercising. She's eating right. And the tide just kept coming in. It kept getting worse. Hormones dropped. She had no libido whatsoever. And the only thing we changed were the bioidentical hormones. And now I'm married to a 51-year-old cheerleader. She's happy. She's sleeping at night. And her libido is definitely that of an 18-year-old. So there's benefit for both men and women in modified, legitimate hormone replacement. And I'm an advocate just simply because I've seen the results with my clientele and my family. I know we kind of segued into that, but it's a valid thing that people can look into. If you feel like you're living a healthy lifestyle and you feel like you're eating right and you're exercising, but things aren't going your way, especially if you have trouble sleeping, if you just have fatigue all the time, a little bit of hormone balance can make a world of difference.
Jeff, is there any other way to get hormones? In other words, I know that when you exercise, when you do cardio, there are things that happen physiologically to your body. Can you not do that from exercise?
You can potentiate your own hormone production, so you can improve it. But as we age, our endocrine system ages as well, and our glands simply wear out. So men and women can both subjectively assess whether their hormones are out of balance, if they're grossly out of balance. If you lose sexual function as a male, if you are tired all the time, if your sleep patterns are such that you just feel like you have trouble falling asleep or you have trouble staying asleep, these are all signs that there could be a gross imbalance, not just relative low testosterone that you can potentiate through eating really good foods. If your testosterone is a little bit low and you just don't feel like you're an 18-year-old and you're 60, there are things that we can boost in that direction. But if you have absolutely no energy and the symptoms are extreme, then that's why we consider the hormone. Eating protein every day, every meal in small portions potentiates hormone production. Strength training more than cardiovascular potentiates hormone production. So when I say strength training, some people immediately envision, okay, then I need to be doing squats and deadlifts and throwing weights around like a caveman. No. Strength training just means resistance training, and that can be done very safely with good machines, with good exercises, with relatively low weight. It can even be done with your body weight, with bands now. We're doing some suspension training where you hang at an angle or you use your body weight to do specific exercises, and that's going to stimulate hormone production as well.
So, Jeff, as we conclude here, if let's take somebody that's in their 50s, in their 60s, and maybe even their 70s, what would be the first steps before you begin any kind of program? We've been talking about hormones. We talked earlier about blood cholesterol levels, things of that nature. What would you recommend they do first before they begin any program? And where would they go? Because a lot of times you can go to gyms, you can get various trainers, and they're just not aware of your physical condition, your age, and you can actually do more harm.
Yes. I would say get to a health professional that is certified in either geriatric training or certified in older populations, or myself, who's certified in corrective exercise. Those are the people that are going to do the proper screenings. They're going to sit you down, do a health history. They're going to do a food log. They're going to find out food intolerances or likes and dislikes. They're going to find out in your medical history if you have a bad back or a trick knee or some kind of problem. And then they're going to put you through an assessment to see how well you move. Before you do any kind of exercise, obviously, we need to assess where you're at. So you need to get to a qualified fitness professional. The National Association of Sports Nutrition has a directory. It's international. We do have professionals all over the world that you can get to. And what they'll do is they'll do that assessment and then write a program that you can either do it at your convenience, at home, or if you're really serious or really tentative about exercising on your own, then they'll exercise with you. They'll actually take you through the program and spot you, correct your form, and walk you through to the point, hopefully with a goal enabling you to be able to do it on your own as you progress. So, summary, get a professional that actually does an assessment, doesn't just throw you into a program.
And Jeff, where are websites or places that our listeners can go to help guide them in this process? In other words, what to look for in a personal trainer? What are the designations? What to look for when you're joining a health club? What you should do prior to beginning any exercise program? In other words, sort of a checklist that can help guide a person into making the proper decisions.
Yes. So there are several different health clubs out there, but obviously looking at that professional, looking at their certifications, asking who are you certified by? And there are several organizations out there, so it's very hard to discern whether the person is qualified or not. I'm biased because I'm a director of an organization that helps regulate the profession. So our website is nasnutrition.com, and you can find the credentials or the actual process of how we certify and license our professionals. And then there's a directory there to find one of our professionals. One of our professionals, I'm confident in, obviously, that they'll take you through the proper assessment. There are other organizations out there, like the sister organizations, like the National Academy of Sports Medicine. They're another organization out there that certifies in this kind of exercise, and they work closely with medical professionals to provide the right progressive and safe training so they're not going to hurt their clientele. And these are organizations that I'm confident are going to take good care of you. You can also do an online assessment at trisystem.com, T-R-I-S-Y-S-T-E-M.com. We do this kind of assessment all over the world. If you're in Southern California or specifically San Diego, you can come into our center, but we actually deal with people long distance. We have clients that we work with Skype and GoToMeeting, where we set up an assessment and deliver a program, and then they do it in their home or at their own gym, knowing that they've done it properly. Depending upon where you are at in your fitness, you can start a program with our assistance remotely. Or if you know that you have trouble standing on your own or you have trouble standing on one foot, you're going to need somebody there that you're confident is going to catch you if you stumble. And that takes a qualified professional.
Jeff, as always, I want to thank you for joining us on the program. And once again, would you give out the website as we close?
Sure. My personal website, TriSystem, TRISYSTEM.com. The National Association of Sports Nutrition is NASNutrition.com. And Jim, I know you're an avid reader of books. I want to just recommend a book, and it's called Diet Cults by Matt Fitzgerald. And it is a really cool book that kind of discerns between all these different nutrition fads. It talks about veganism and vegetarianism and the whole food diet and the raw diet and the paleo diet. And it's just some really good reading if you really want to discern between what does science say about the right diet. And it comes to the conclusion that there is no one size fits all. There is no one diet that fits everyone. So if you're interested in some nutrition reading that I found to be very enlightening, it's called Diet Cults by Matt Fitzgerald. And he kind of plays on it that people become fanatics about a certain type of diet. And it's very entertaining. If you can get past the idea that the author is an evolutionist and he talks about, you know, millions of years ago, I just kind of discount that. But other than that, it's a great book.
Jeff, well, listen, as always, thanks for joining us on the program.
Hey, my pleasure, Jim. Good talking to you.
Yeah, it was an interesting interview. One of the reasons I wanted to have Jeff, personally, I used him as a personal trainer, and he really helped me put together a program that really helped me get fit and lose weight because I was exercising, but I wasn't using the right diet and the supplements. But one of the things that I wanted to have Jeff on the program is I have several orthopedic surgeons as clients, and they were telling me that this CrossFitness boot camp rage that is sort of sweeping the health field right now has been just a boon to their business because all these people are getting into these programs and they're injuring themselves. And last thing you want to do is, you know, throw out a rotator cuff or something like that that's going to wreck your golf game. And so you really want to be careful on the type of exercise you do, or even worse, don't start a program when you're really out of shape physically because you don't want to stress your heart or do any of those things. So I hope you enjoy this interview, and sounds like I have a new book to read. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.